What is up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network special live coverage of the 2024 RNC, coming to you from beautiful downtown Milwaukee, joined by my good friends and yours, the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, best hosts ever.
We don't actually claim to be the best host ever.
Just the best show.
Just the greatest radio show ever.
I'm sorry, I forgot.
To this finally.
Two WBA's awards, Mike.
Oh, man.
I got Mike Kurt and Dominic Salvio with me for the remainder of the afternoon on a special Devil's Advocates Maggie Dawn Show combo pack for you. Given all that is happening, couldn't be joined by two better gentlemen to talk about it all. Breaking news just in the last couple of hours, Jack Smith formally appealing Judge Aileen Cannon's dismissal of Donald Trump's super secret spy documents case in the Southern District of Florida. He didn't actually file the appeal. It's the formal notice that triggers a 40-day period during which Jack Smith will have to file all of the substantive arguments in a legal brief.
40 more days?
I know.
And then maybe we get a ruling from the appellate court, and maybe we're back on track.
Who knows?
Maybe.
I think the 11th Circuit will probably move really quickly on this, given the gravity of the situation. Certainly, if I was a federal appeals court judge, I would do so.
As will special counsel Jack Smith. Of He's not going to take the 40 days,
correct.
Right?
Correct. Yeah, and they've already made the arguments. It's just sort of positioning it in a proper appellate brief. I'm a little surprised, to be perfectly honest with you. I thought Jack Smith might take a real tactical approach here, guys, which would have involved Jack Smith simply handing the case off to a U.S. attorney, say in the D.C. Circuit, right, in New Jersey, or even in the Southern District again, and say, we're going to file the case, but just don't use a special prosecutor. A little surprise here. What about you, Dom? Are you surprised by this, or are you looking forward to the appeal?
We're where we're at. You know, the whole point of this special counsel was to avoid any sense of political improprieties, you know, and all that kind of thing. And the special counsel law has already been upheld multiple times over multiple decades. So I like what you're thinking. You'll go back to D.C., but you kind of skipped that whole thing. The whole thing was for nothing then.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get it. If you're on it, stay on it. Keep the course. But, you know, it's a shame that we're in this position to begin with.
Mike, you surprised by the appeal?
I don't have time for shame or to be ashamed.
when you damn well should be. I joke, but are you surprised?
I know no shame. Am I surprised? I don't think so, and here's why. It is my great fear, of course, that Donald Trump wins the presidency again in 2024. And were that to be the case, should this go directly to the Department of Justice, would they not effectively just defund this? Would Trump just not end the investigation, the classified documents investigation upon his inauguration? It is my thought, at least there is a greater chance that a special counselor would survive that presidency. And, you know, we might, the American people, because I'm not clear that Donald Trump's ever going to spend a day in prison. It is just history that needs to judge the evidence here. And that's what I want to see. And if refiling it, if Jack Smith thought that refiling it would present this evidence to the American people sooner, I think he would have gone that route. But I think at this point, we're preserving history. And the preservation of history, apparently, I'm not a lawyer, but apparently is through the appellate process. And Jack Smith doesn't seem like a lightweight. This isn't, you know, Aileen Cannon shadow boxing with herself in the mirror here. So if we can take Cannon out of it, I mean, isn't that a step in the right direction? The 11th has shown a...
Well, here's the thing. If he appeals the ruling and wins, it'll go back to Aileen Cannon, except if the 11th Circuit in... And first of all, Jack Smith would have to ask the 11th Circuit to remove her from the case.
Don't you think that would be a part?
I absolute certainty. Absolute certainty. But that actually cuts against removal of a judge. In other words, they've been involved in the case so long, they're familiar with it. All those arguments you just made, Mike, cut against removing a judge, especially when you're dealing with things that require skiffs, all the sensitive documents, all those kinds of things. That's certainly what Donald Trump's lawyers would argue, to keep Judge Cannon on the case.
But the 11th Circuit has already overturned her on the special master question. They already know that she is so far off base in her rulings to date on this. How can they, as jurists of good stature, possibly allow her to continue to hold this case or send it back to her?
What is the process for replacing the judge? Let's say
for those of us that didn't clerk with the federal judge.
Let's just say this goes through and in Jack Smith's filing a request that the judge be removed. The 11th Circuit, they concur. Then what happens? How does that work out?
Typically in a trial court, it's a motion to request that the judge recuse themselves. You set forth the bases. Here, effectively, the argument that Jack Smith would make on appeal is that Aileen Cannon's decisions have been so legally unsound and her manner of handling the case so slow that it creates an impression of bias, right? The appearance of bias so strong that it would fundamentally, again, sort of not be in the interest of justice and the public interest in the swift administration of justice and getting things right for her to remain on the case.
So they did pull straws on the other judges in the area?
Yep, it goes back into a hopper, basically, for assignment.
Could she repull this case again?
No, not if the 11th Circuit removed.
She'd be excluded.
Correct. Now, no doubt Trump would probably appeal that decision of the 11th Circuit, and he certainly would appeal an 11th Circuit reversal of Aileen Cannon's dismissal. Here's a couple of things of note that I just wanted to mention about Judge Aileen Cannon, who's a favorite topic of mine. I like talking about bad lawyering, and in this case, some of the worst judging I have ever read. Two things. She was overturned not once, but twice by the 11th Circuit, and they did so in scathing terms. I cannot tell you how incredibly unusual that is. I have never heard of that in my career. I've heard of an appeals court sort of smacking a judge around or even perhaps speaking in roundabout legal easy when they get something really wrong. But this was not legal ease. This was very clear language, and not once, but twice on the same case. So the pump is primed, so to speak, right, Mike, for the 11th Circuit to remove her should Jack Smith make that request. That's thing one, twice reversed in scathing terms by the 11th Circuit. Thing two is, just going to go into the nitty gritty, I have never read judicial decisions that are more whiny than what this woman writes. Things like, the court carefully considered this very complicated case, or, you know, the prosecutors didn't mention this legal principle that everyone that's a first-year law student knows. It's very whiny. I have never written like that. I have clerked for a federal appeals court judge. We didn't write like that. You just go about doing the analysis. You don't go about puffery and defensiveness and whining as a Article III federal judge.
But the most words wins?
The most wrong words wins the affection of Donald Trump permanently. Yeah,
that it does.
Leave the whining for those of us that do talk radio for a living.
Of course, Mike, where it properly belongs, not in federal written decisions from Article III judges. Watch this space, folks. It's sure to be an interesting next couple of months. All of this going on with the specter of the Democratic National Convention coming up next month. Big news this afternoon, guys. Wanted to get your gut reactions. Adam Schiff, probably one of the most prominent members of the House of Representatives, considered to be a very thoughtful, deliberate legislator, coming out, joining, I believe, 22 or 23 other members of the House of Representatives and calling publicly for Joe Biden to step down. Dom, your reaction?
I think it's a big one. And of course, he's close with former Speaker Pelosi as well. She had her own statements, you know, recently about perhaps the current president, you know, reconsidering or giving, making the decision, maybe a different decision. But I respect Adam Schiff, and it's very concerning. And we've got to wonder if it's just going to continue to snowball.
Well, I agree with the sentiment of Adam Schiff, and I do believe that Joe Biden is a detriment to the Democratic Party at this late hour. It could also be called self-serving. Schiff is running for the U.S. Senate at this time, and this does draw particular attention to himself. Now, I thought it was kind of nice that Joe Biden's been getting a pass this week, other than from perhaps Lester Holt. You know, he gets his ability to counter-narrative the RNC without all the clamoring for Joe to step down, which it's been a nice break for those of us on the blue team. But now that Adam Schiff has chosen this as an opportunistic time, and I did choose that word purposefully, an opportunistic time to call for Biden to step down, I'm just going to say, while I agree with the sentiment, you know, I think all politicians are self-serving on some level.
Well, but if they're all that, then you don't need to bring it up because, of course, it's all political. But if it is going to be the case, then sooner is certainly better than later, right? I mean, time
Joe is
going to
step aside. And new polling out today, I was reading the Washington Post before we joined Maggie here on the Maggie Dawn Show. As many as, depending on which poll you look at and how the question is phrased, as many as 2/3 of Democrats want Joe Biden to step down as the top of the ticket.
Yeah.
2/3. Now, there are some polls that say less than 50%, but that's still an enormous bleed of your base. And one thing I will say about the RNC here in Milwaukee, and we saw the come to Jesus last night of Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis and Ted Cruz.
Bending the knee.
Is that what it was?
The ass of the Cheeto Messiah. They all came and did it. They all came and did it.
Check, check, check.
And, you know, from that perspective, I heard right-wing talk radio talk about the fact the Republican Party, since Trump has first emerged on the scene, this is the most unified they've ever been. And I don't disagree with that assessment.
No, well, sure.
And it certainly contrasts with the circumstance the Dems currently find themselves in.
When you toss aside and overboard Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan and Liz Cheney.
Adam Kinzinger.
And go on,
right.
And a lot of the folks have left and are not run again or retired.
They purged vermin and the rhinos down.
They certainly did. So when you get rid of all dissent, yeah, you're gonna be unified. That's what's left.
Also, what's left is the B team. That's what the GOP is these days. But no, never fear, only the A team here. I'm Maggie Dawn. I'm joined this special hour of coverage for the RNC 2024 by Dom Salvia, Mike Crute of the Devil's Advocates Radio for a special joint broadcast here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go anywhere, anybody.
Devil's Triangle.
Lots of references just to prove
certainly did. He was very excited to tell everyone he's from Wisconsin.
He's so Wisconsin.
His family's been here for 100 years.
Yes. Can we just say the energy level? Very uncomfortable for me. Like, Eric, calm.
Try hard? You know, try hard?
Yes. Come on. Wow.
It seems.
Did they get the drugs? You know, like the balance.
Was he too
jacked up, Eric, last night?
It seems too contrived. It's like they're trying too hard. It's like a first year
forensic student. Very Howard Dean. Let's take a listen. Eric Hovde spoke at the RNC last night, had some interesting things to say, as he is wont to do. Let's hear that sound about living here for 100 years.
I'm Eric Hovde. I'm proud to be running for the United States Senate from the great state of Wisconsin.
From or
for? Where my family has lived for more than 100 years.
I a little less so.
Listen to that crowd roar.
Oh, yes. I was like, listen to the pin drop. Let's just the end, Brian, one more time.
Give me a minute. I can't fast forward that.
Sorry. That's all right. No worries, Brian. Yeah, just pin dropping quiet as he leans into the my family has lived
but
here
this
for 100
is, this
years.
This is progress for Hovde, because his rollout video didn't mention the state of Wisconsin at all.
Oops.
I'm running for senator.
I'm not sure from where. Next sound we got, this is Biden, along with Tammy Baldwin, has increased the deficit. That's kind of weird.
It's wrong.
It's like, fact check anyone who wrote the copy for his speech. Brian, let's take a listen to that.
Biden, with Baldwin's help, has weakened us in every way, making Americans less safe. They've eroded us financially by racking up more debt in the last 3.5 years than our country's first 230 years. fueling massive inflation,
correct,
and leaving families wondering how they're going to pay the bills.
Now, these statistics that he offered may, in fact, be accurate if you look at, you know, if you add all the deficits up and do the math. But what he fails to mention is that while whatever Tammy Baldwin assisted Joe Biden in adding to the debt, it was less than his guy, Donald Trump, added to the debt significantly.
Yeah, you don't ever want to set up a counterpunch. It's like dropping your hands when you're boxing. Just stupid. Also, I just want to point this out. I find it deeply offensive. You know, I go to great lengths, the best that I can, to try to address people, especially when I'm hosting guests on the show, by their honorifics. The man didn't say Senator Baldwin or Tammy Baldwin. Do you know where you are, sir? You're at the RNC. Try to at least act like you know how big of a stage and what the appropriate normatives are for addressing folks.
Now, when you say normatives, what does that mean these days?
Just sort of like, what are the norms?
Yeah.
You know, what is the way that this is usually done?
Like peaceful transfer of power?
Yes,
like
those kinds of things.
You can understand why a candidate would not want to express the incumbency of their opponent.
But that's also why you don't use your opponent's name. It's just disrespectful. I don't think it works well at all. But
he wanted to trash talk her.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
My opponent is
disrespectful. That is the point. That is why.
Disrespectful by intent.
Yes. Yes.
That's the crowd of disrespect at the Unity RCOKE 2024.
Let's take a listen. This is Eric Hovde again last night in his RNC speech talking about our country becoming too divided, and he'll let us know who's to blame for that.
Our country has become too divided, though. Instead of putting on just the blue jersey or the red jersey, we need to put on the red, white, and blue jersey and come together as Americans. We need to heal this country from the division that the left has brought. And the media, you have to stop dividing us.
What'd you do, Maggie?
He could have come down for tacos and tequila last night. It was an open invitation. Candidate wannabe, pornstachioed Mr. Hudby. Did I use all the normatives?
Yes, you did. Well done. And our last Hovde sound that we'll take today, this is talking about saving America. Listen to the crowd response here, folks.
Are you ready to go save your country? Are you ready to restore the American dream?
The American dream is dead.
We heard Trump say it.
Thank you, everyone. God bless.
Just don't ask him to say the pledge.
You know, he's in Milwaukee. I would have thought he would have gotten a warmer crowd. I mean, this was prime time. Where are the cheering delegates? He lost the room he was in, and he was the only one speaking.
Terrible. He's JV squad. Yep. That's what every time I hear Eric Hovde speak, he can't help but say stupid things. Delivery is really stilted. He's awkward. He's the JV team. Go back to Laguna Beach, where he was, I think, thrice like the man of the year in Laguna Beach.
One of the most influential citizens of Laguna Beach, California.
Three times, not just once. Three times.
Maybe sometime you'll get a third award, Maggie.
this continual beating of the drum of the media, that this is all the media's fault. If the media didn't, you know, report on the fact that there was an insurrection going on, perhaps, you know, that we would be more unified.
It's such an easy thing to say, except when we're talking about facts and reality. It belies that. Like, January 6th happened. It happened because Donald Trump incited an insurrection. That is what history will say, because it's the truth.
The right is saying that the media has shielded the American public from the capabilities of President Joe Biden. Is that not, and I, that's not what he said, but would that be a more honest critique?
I don't know that anybody, I mean, if Joe Biden sat down next to me right now and I did an interview and we had a Q&A, I wouldn't be in a position to assess his acuity. Only those closest to him are. I think that's we're supposed to diagnose that. I just think that that's a little bit, a little too smart by half. It's too much. Like, the media is just responsible for everything.
Right, right. Good.
All of it.
All the bad caused by the media, because, of course, they're the ones
reporting
on it. And
if I was a Republican, why just say thank you to the media for covering up Joe Biden's potential issues. Listen, we're going to have to take a couple of quick messages here. I'm Maggie Dawn. I'm with Dom Salvia and Mike Crute here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's our special coverage of RNC 2024 coming to you live from downtown Milwaukee. Don't go anywhere, folks. We'll be right back.
All right. Go and sock it to me now. Ah!
The American dream is dead.
You look like an angel.
Look like an angel.
Walk like an angel.
Walk like an angel.
Talk like an angel. But I got
I'm sitting next to Tina Rose, I suppose, by process of an elimination. I'm the angel, but I'm no angel.
It's relative.
Indeed it is. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network's special live coverage of the 2024 RNC coming to you from downtown Milwaukee. I'm joined this hour by the hosts of the Devil's Advocates radio show, Mike Crute and Dom Salvia. Thanks again for being here. Let's talk about one of your favorite topics. I don't give him nearly enough time on my show, but he is a fun guy to talk about. Little Derek Van Orten apparently getting into a shove fest with a woman.
Well, it would be the first time that Derek Van Orten was alleged to have had a run-in with some young lady. I prefer all the normatives. Day drinking. I think he's a bad drunk. That's just one man's opinion, but I'm going to throw it out there for public consumption.
You make your own decision.
My wife and I went out to D.C. Happened to be the week that Mike Johnson was picked as the speaker. But if you'll recall, who was absent that week? Derek Van Orten. Because he took a personal pilgrimage to the Holy Land because he was going to solve
the Mideast peace problem.
Yes. So anyways, my wife gets to his office, 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central. They offered her a Miller Lite.
Seriously?
Absolutely.
Well, oh, my gosh.
It was a light. I mean, you know.
Yeah, colored water.
For morning.
9 a.m.? 10 a.m.? Wow.
She
Not
declined.
Even a bloody? I mean, come on.
A screwdriver, perhaps?
Yeah. Greyhound?
Come on.
The congressman from the 3rd Congressional District in let's hope he doesn't continue with that normative for much longer. The story is that, as he tells it, he was assaulted. Some damn peacenik, pro-Hamas peacenik from Code Pink.
Yes.
A short, little, young woman, like almost like my daughter's size.
Yeah.
You know, is going, was in line. Well, it was some Wisconsin Republican or some Republican women's event at the Pfister.
Come on, man. You could dunk on Derek Van Orten. He's not a big guy.
And apparently she was in line and he tried to push back and shoved her. And I don't know if she pushed back what the situation was. She ended up getting arrested. Was held for like 17 hours. She got like 2 o'clock this morning. Jeez. And again, if you look at the behavior of the Congressman Van Orten
over time, this is a pattern.
This is certainly a pattern.
I have this message for the Congressman from the 3rd CD. Why don't you come on over here, join me on the air, and then you can push somebody your own damn size and see how that goes for you. I mean, what's wrong? Do you have an anger management problem?
Yes.
A bad drinking problem?
Yeah, perhaps.
Could it be all of the above, Maggie?
See, all of the above. Let's go with that. Yeah, just reprehensible behavior. And the reality is, listen, if you're a member of the House of Representatives, you're a senator, you're a judge, you're going to get razzed, right? Like, that is part of
the deal.
Correct. Yeah. You don't get to pop off at people. You don't... Like, do better, Derek. That's just
ridiculous. I thought that was the perk of the job. If you can't pop off to people, why even run?
Says Crudy. Of course, man. That's the perk of every job Crudy has. The Code Pink, they put out a press release, and if you'll indulge me for a moment, a few informative paragraphs.
And we have reached out to Code Pink. We have invited a representative of Code Pink on this fine cavalcade, Maggie Dawn, Devil's Advocates, RNC MKE 2024 show.
I prefer RIP GOP MKE 2024, but I continue on from Melissa Garriga from Code Pink. The incident with the congressman occurred while Noor peacefully stood in line for an event for the Republican Women's Brunch. A man tried to cut in line by shoving past her. When she didn't move aside, the man then told one of the Texas police officers that she assaulted him. Again, out-of-town police officers again. That she assaulted him and that he would like her arrested. He announced that he was a member of Congress, Representative Derek Van Orden.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Who was known for his inappropriate, angry outbursts in Congress. He used his power to have Noor wrongfully arrested and went on his X account to stroke hatred against our organization. Van Orden's tweet referred to the incident as political violence against him, setting aside the fact that he approached Noor from behind and she could not recognize or see him. We interact with Republican congressmen and senators every day in Congress and engage them in meaningful dialogue as we do with all elected officials. This is well documented across our social media. We know there was no violence of any kind, at least on our part, but Van Orden's language is deliberate. Mere days after a high-profile assassination attempt, he used the same words to describe our peace organization that the nation is using to describe the person who attempted to kill Donald Trump. There's more to it. And there will be more of the story, I'm sure. Now, this happened on the east 400 East block of Wisconsin Avenue. That's the Pfister.
It's the Pfister.
That's also shut down, I believe. Yep. And there's going to be cameras all over the place. It'd be hard pressed to think that there's not some video of this incident somewhere.
But dear Pfister employees, we would be happy to receive video of the Code Pink Van Orden altercation at the Pfister. Again, I'm a congressman. The whole thing is just so on brand for Van Orden, right? Like, yes, of course he did that. The first time I heard it, I was like, yep, that guy's a complete, pardon the expression, jackwagon. And that's exactly what he would do. I mean, that he thinks that that is commensurate and acceptable conduct for a member of Congress is ridiculous.
Maggie Dawn, did I ever tell you the story that I had about the Pfister and sort of relates to Derek Van Orden in a weird sort of way? I'll try to tell it efficiently. Last summer, I stayed at the Pfister, and we were there for some concert or something. And as fate would have it, there was a baseball team in town, I believe, the Royals. And there were some other people, but I was sitting at the bar. I met a nice couple, and I'm sitting there enjoying their company. And this other couple just comes piling through. Oh, Susie, Bob, whatever. Like, they knew them. And I'm like, okay, I didn't know them. They're new friends to me. I'll step aside. But I noted, after maybe 10 or 15 minutes of these interlopers that had joined the conversation, I took note of the fact this lady had a lovely painted silk dress on. And, you know, she was highly cosmetic surgery. My impression, just one man's impression. And I said, what a lovely dress you have on. I said, I don't personally have any fashion sense, but my daughter's in the fashion industry. She'd love it. It's beautiful. He goes, what about me? The husband says,
was it Van Orden?
Well, let me tell the end of the story here.
I'm trying to speed it up.
I'm getting there. Let me tell it. So anyways, I look at the guy's obviously got a custom suit on. It's hand-stitched and whatever. And he's wearing what I swear to God looks like a congressional lapel pin.
Yeah.
And I said to the guy, I said, you know, you're kind of the spitting image of a guy here in Wisconsin, Derek Van Orden, the congressman from the 3rd. Derek Van Orden, he was at my house last night.
Weird.
So
he's got a doppelganger?
So he pulls out pictures of Derek Van Orden in his kitchen from the night before. And so anyways, he got a response he wasn't expecting from me, which is I started pounding him on the company he keeps. I said, former Navy SEAL, I said, have you seen that this guy has been attacking young LGBT kids in a library in the state of Wisconsin? This guy took a firearm on an airplane I said, did they teach him that, the Navy SEALs? And within like 60 seconds, this man's like, we're done here.
Yeah, let's go.
To get away from the conversation, but the Pfister lobby is crowded now. He can't go anywhere. So all he did was literally stood there and did a pirouette and turned his back to me. And so anyways, that was my Derek Van Orden story. I hope it was worth the trip.
But it's not, I mean, it's sort of about Derek Van. Anyways, I digress. I do.
The company you keep. This guy was clearly a hothead just like Van Orden. And they were up drinking and carousing. The one thing I noted from the photograph the night before, lots of liquor bottles.
Doesn't surprise me one little bit. I keep the best company. In fact, it's Mike Crute and Dom Salvia, hosts of the Devil's Advocates radio show, joining me for this special hour of coverage. It's a good time, gentlemen, if you want to join our conversation, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I took a little walkabout the RNC today. You know,
first time in
it was the first time in the hot zone, if you will. I checked out Todd Alba and Trigby Olson at the Panther Arena while they were on air. Got to talk with Civic Media's news director Terry Bell. But in general, I just wanted to you know, vibe check, right? And
vibe check,
walk around and see what it was all about. I literally had a bingo card of baloney artists, okay? Like five of the biggest heavy hitters. I thought, wow, and it's only going to get worse from here.
Who was dishing out the malarkey at the RNC today?
So the malarkey slingers today at the RNC that yours truly, Maggie Dawn, got to see during my vibe check walk around today were none other than Carrie Lake. She was the first one I saw.
Oh, I got to see her the other day too.
She's
tiny,
a nice
little thing.
She's very, very petite. Next up, it can get worse, and it did. Roger Stone.
Oh, never met the dirty trickster, but I hear he's got a hell of a Dick
suit
Nixon
collection.
Well, he's got
and
a Dick
the huge
Nixon
Richard
tattoo
Nixon
on his back.
Yes, if you haven't heard this, I've talked about it on the show before. Roger Stone has about a 1 foot circle thing of Richard Nixon's face smack dab between his shoulder blades on his back.
I bet he's got a Trump tramp stamp by now.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Next up, again, whether it's worse or better, that's a coin flip. Corey Lewandowski.
Then can you tell me, Corey Lewandowski?
Yeah.
Bumped into Corey Lewandowski in 2016 in Cleveland. This guy is alleged to have had affairs with half the women in Trump's orbit.
Yeah, like Christy Noem. That one's not really alleged.
The aide, the direct aide, my Hopi. Hope Hicks. And then he allegedly assaulted her and remains in the heart of the Trump orbit. They're okay with that.
Oh, yeah. He was down on Media Row getting an interview.
Come on, man. Their candidate's a rapist. So, yeah. And?
Mm-hmm. This is surprising.
But he's a hell of a political strategist. So we
and
just
apparently
past
a
it.
Hell of a lover. When you saw
he's
these folks.
He is. I do have to say this. I don't even have on heels. But there's nothing better than Maggie Dawn doing a, like, walk-by to like tiny petite little dudes. I mean,
I resemble that remark
a lot, says Dom. He was tiny. I was like, I don't get
you
the
could
appeal.
Break him in two, Maggie.
Yes, right over the knee. I didn't get the appeal one little bit.
So were these folks just walking around? Were they presenting? Were they talking?
So
what was
Carrie
the circumstance?
Lake, Roger Stone, and Corey Lewandowski were all on Media Row.
Okay.
So they were in the Panther on the bottom level, all basically either exiting or entering interviews. Roger Stern was in the midst of an interview. It went on for some time. I saw Kellyanne Conway coming into the Fiserv.
She offer you alternative facts?
I'm glad she didn't. And then last but not least, I'm standing in the belly of the beast on the floor of the Fiserv. And who is up on the dais? None other than Governor Greg Abbott of the state of Texas. He's giving one of the primetime addresses this evening. Remember, Civic Media's got some of your primetime coverage, 7 to 8 p.m. across the network. Don't miss it. But Governor Greg Abbott, was on the dais. And they were doing a mic check, and he was warming up, basically.
Sure.
And on the teleprompters, yes, those teleprompters that caused Mike Johnson to just abandon and drift off the stage.
And Ron Johnson to pull a Ron Burgundy.
Yes. On the teleprompter, as Governor Greg Abbott started talking, was the Gettysburg Address. I just have to say, it was stomach-churning to listen to Greg Abbott start speaking 47 years ago. And I actually was able to get my phone up and get some recording of it. where he's talked about in the line, now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether or not that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. It was really gross. Really gross.
So he was referring to our challenges today as Civil War.
He was just reading copy of the Gettysburg Address because they weren't going to put his actual speech up there.
Gotcha.
Just to do the mic check, but just very disturbing. Wow.
Are you sure he's done incorporating the Gettysburg Address in his actual speech? A lot of Party of Lincoln sentiment here.
You remember Melania ripping off Obama's speech? It was Michelle Obama's speech at the convention the first time around. She's been conspicuously absent.
I think they're going to make a big entrance with the favorite daughter and Ivanka. The favorite wife. That'll be probably Thursday. That's my bet.
Well, keep it locked, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn, joined by Dominic Crude of the Devil's Advocates Radio. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network special live coverage coming to you from downtown Milwaukee for the 2024 RNC. We'll be right back. Final thoughts are next. Like, I looked up where J.D. Vance is from, and it's this small town on the western edge of Ohio, adjacent to or just across the border from Indiana. That's not Appalachia. So I don't get it. I mean, my take on J.D. Vance is this guy is an incredibly smart grifter and poser. He's not ever what he appears to be, completely opportunistic, complete situational ethics. I mean, I want to be a hillbilly from Appalachia, but it's actually Western Ohio. I want to talk about, the bootstraps, but now I work for Peter Thiel and I have millions. I hate the pick for VP. I was hoping for the governor whose name no one can ever remember. At least that would have been slightly less offensive. What was your take when you heard that J.D. Vance was the pick, Dom?
Well, this is a guy who will do what Mike Pence didn't have the quote-unquote courage to do. He said it himself.
Burn J.D. it down! Vance,
he would have done everything to overturn the election, and he won the loyalty war, and now he gets his prize. I struggle because the way I look at things, the way I grew up, when someone proclaims something and then they very soon after turn around and reject it entirely, were you lying to me then or you're lying to me now?
It's always
the media's fault. That's why he didn't understand everything about Trump until he got into paid by Thiel and then into the inner circle. Paid by Thiel being the most important thing. These are the billionaires getting control or maintaining control, expanding control of our governmental system. So, if you care about someone's honor and character and their consistency, I'm not talking about evolving on over time on issues. I'm talking about full on 180s.
Flip-flop.
This guy's the American Hitler. Yes, Mr. Trump will save America. This guy is cultural heroin. I'm going to be his VP. Now, maybe it's a little too close to the heroin references from, I didn't read the book, but presumably there's a lot of drug use and abuse, in the area and all that. But the guy is, as you mentioned, is just taking advantage. He doesn't have any consistent beliefs as far as I'm concerned. Apparently very skilled. That's not the point. For me, where's the character, man? If Trump was all these things that you believe then, what, it was just the media fooling you? Your own eyes didn't tell you that?
And that is such that aw shucks, I didn't get it sort of vibe that you get from J.D. Vance. That's what is the shape-shifting baloney. This guy was the editor of the Yale Law Journal. He is brilliant. Peter Thiel hired him within a year of him graduating from Yale Law School. This guy is extremely smart, but he has absolute no moral core. There's no center. It is anything to promote myself. He's now, I saw one headline today and I thought it was a great, great line. He's Trump's dauphin, which means the child king, the child heir apparent to the throne. I think that's what you're seeing get set up here is the continuation of what is the MAGA cult for generations. He's half Trump's age. What was your take?
The fact that his wife is of immigrant descent is really going to piss off the white nationalist in this party, and that's basically about a third of the base.
It's already happening. It's being reported on already.
Yeah, I found a little article, one of my favorite sources, the Raw story. Neo-Nazi Nick Fuentes said, do we really expect the guy who has an Indian wife and named their kid Vivek is going to support white identity? I mean, that was Trump's dining.
Yeah, quiet part alone.
At the White House. That's the white nationalists. That is the neo-Nazis. You're losing the neo-Nazis, Trump. So, you know, I wonder if it was as strategic as Trump would think. You know why Trump picked him?
Because
he looked... No. Beyond the loyalty and the ass-kissing and the sycophantness. Because he looked like Trump thought his vice president should look. He's a handsome devil. That's what Trump said about... Well, that's what Trump thinks. He thinks he's like a young, handsome... You know, as
he looks like he should be a member of the band Kiss, all the eyeliner. I don't get... Listen, of all of the things that are wrong with J.D. Vance, and there are so many, the idea that he's some sort of populist hero that's going to, you know, reinvigorate the Rust Belt, don't believe the hype. This guy has nothing but for contempt for about where he came from or who he was. He's trying to distance himself from that. Most of his family are basically disowned the guy because they were so angry about how they were depicted in the book, which many of them claim was basically fabricated in a lot of respects. There's so many things about him. Again, total abortion ban. He co-sponsor of the 15-week federal ban, thinks women should stay in violent marriages. But of all of the things that is so dirty and wrong, is that J.D. Vance ran an opioid charity, right? That's part of his origin story. And it was a freaking sham. It had ties to Purdue Pharma, the very birthplace of this country's opioid epidemic. Everything about the man is offensive.
J.D. Vance is a real loyalist, he will wear a maxi pad on his ear tonight, like so many of the RNC attendees. The delegates are wearing like gauze on their ear, apparently in what? Loyalty to Trump.
Yeah. Yes.
Fidelity. Just hold your right hand up high and angle it towards the sky. You'll be getting the loyalty sign about right. Final thought, Dom. Yeah.
All the things wrong with J.D. Vance, the guyliner is not one of them.
From the man who always wears slimming black, I'll take that as the God's truth there. Thanks so much, guys. The Devils are headed down there. You're going to take a spin around the convention grounds.
A walkabout, if you will.
Yes,
a walkabout. Later, after our big show, 4-6 here. We're coming up next, Maggie Dawn.
I'll be excited to hear about it tomorrow because these guys will be back with me right here. I'm Maggie Dawn. You've been listening to the Civic Media Radio Network special coverage of the 2024 Milwaukee RNC. Mike and Dom are sticking around, but I'm going to go have a cocktail, gentlemen.
Thank you for having us, Maggie.
Maggie Dawn, the greatest host ever, but now it's time for the greatest show ever.
Just ask him. Thanks so much, folks. Keep it locked. Devils are...
Hey, the double traffic kicks here.
Yeah, man.
All right.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?